Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's continue to pray for the walls and for the Metacheras, brother Wall at home, sister Wall, probably will be transferred. Amen. The title of the message tonight, Reward, Dead or Alive. So let's look, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words, reward, dead or alive. How many of you have ever thought about it would really be nice for the Lord to come back on a Sunday night? Has anyone ever thought about that? I used to when I was a boy going to school the next day. And then later on when I had some jobs I didn't really enjoy. You know, it's enjoyable being in the house of God on Sunday and hearing the Word of God preached and the fellowship with other Christians. And I thought, sure, it would be nice if the Lord would come back on a Sunday night. Then I wouldn't have to go to school the next day or wouldn't have to go to work the next day. That's the way I thought about it at times. But there is a reward at the rapture, which we just read about. There is a reward at the rapture whether we are dead or alive. So that's the first thing we want to look at is number one, at the rapture, there is a reward for the dead in Christ. We read about that in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which what? Sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are what? Asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and who? The dead in Christ shall rise first. There is a reward at the rapture for the dead in Christ. They didn't die in vain. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So it wasn't all in vain serving the Lord. It wasn't in vain getting saved because the dead in Christ, the moment they close their eyes, they're like Lazarus. They're with the Lord in heaven. But at the rapture, we see here their bodies will be raised before us. The dead in Christ shall rise first. and then we will be caught up together with them. So there is a reward at the rapture, whether dead or alive. First of all, we saw there a reward for the dead, and then secondly, at the rapture, there's a reward for the living. He said there in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord that," who? We which are what? Alive and remain. So the biblical doctrine of the Lord's return is to look for him in our day. Both sets of my grandparents are now with the Lord. And at times in their lives, they talked about, it sure would be nice to be able to go up in the rapture and not have to die. But my grandfather, I don't know if it was in the last year or two, he changed a little bit on that. He said, if more people could hear at my funeral the gospel, then so be it. I'd rather go that way. I thought, wow, that's really a unselfish thought there. And indeed, people did hear the gospel. Some raised their hands indicating they had gotten saved. And of course, that's in the Lord's hands now. But so there is a reward for the living. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Then what? We which are what? Alive and remain. There is a reward for the living at the rapture. "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So there is a reward. There's a reward, whether dead or alive, when we are in Christ, there's a reward. The rapture is coming. Number two, there is a reward for excellent sacrifice, dead or alive. There is a reward for us for a life of excellent sacrifice, whether we are dead or alive. There's a reward. Let's look at a couple examples. Hebrews 11:4. The Bible says here, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more," what? "Excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he by it," and "by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." He being dead, yet speaketh. That's what I love about gospel tracts. You know what? Your story can go on. Brother Jerry Bond's story is going on. He's with the Lord, but his story yet speaketh and goes out. My grandfather, Grandpa Rector, his life story yet speaks. We ship it out still yet today. Brother Ken Miller, I've used his track a little bit lately when it gets icy and snowy. And their testimony still goes on. We haven't really encouraged people, I guess, lately in that. But if you would like to jot down your life story, how you come to Christ, we would love to print a track. I mean, wouldn't you, if the Lord tarries his coming, wouldn't you love to be with him in heaven and your story yet speaks? Wow, that'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful to be in heaven still seeing fruit come from your story, how you came to Christ. So ponder that, pray about that, and we could print that up. But for an excellent sacrifice, there is a reward for the dead in Christ. And Abel was such a person. Still the reward. By it, by which he obtained, well, read the whole verse here again, verse 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." So there is a reward for the dead in Christ for an excellent sacrifice in life. Number two, for an excellent sacrifice, there is a reward for the living. Notice in Genesis 22. You know, none of us know the day nor the hour in which we're going to go be with the Lord. I think of Brother Reese talking to his brother on was it yesterday for three hours or was it Friday or Thursday? Now, one of those days anyway. But I think his brother's name is Alan, and he had a dad who loved the Lord. He would go out on the street preaching. He'd go out on the street singing. He was a man who selflessly gave up of his time while he was building his own house. It took him forever to get his own house done because he was always helping other people get whatever they needed done. And to watch a dad like that, and then the dad dies, and then to go off deep into a life of sin. And pray for Alan. Anyway, it's on Brother Reese's heart that his brother would be saved. And anyway, he had a chance to talk to him for an extended period of time this last week out in San Francisco. So please pray. But there is an excellent sacrifice, or for an excellent sacrifice, there is a reward for the living in Christ. Genesis 22, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is what? The lamb for a burnt offering. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide what? Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will what? Bless thee. And in multiplying I will what? Multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, an excellent sacrifice. He was willing to offer up his son for the Lord's sake. And the Lord said, Okay, I appreciate you being willing to, but I'm going to let your son live. God himself, verse 8, will provide a lamb. So there's an excellent reward for the living, for those who will offer to God an excellent sacrifice, whether dead or alive. Number three, there's a reward for believing the promises of God, dead or alive. There's a reward for believing the promises of God, dead or alive. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. First of all, we're going to see there is a reward for believing the promises of God for the dead in Christ. Hebrews 11, verse 8. This is an amazing passage here. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13, notice, these all died what? In faith. What does the next phrase say? Not having received the promises. So my point is, for believing the promises of God, there is a reward for the dead in Christ. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were what? Persuaded of them. And what? Embraced them. Some years ago, it used to be popular to have a bumper sticker that said, "Have you hugged your child today?" Does anyone remember those? Any of those stickers? Okay, some of you. Okay. I thought, boy, those must be really old stickers. Nobody ever saw those before. I used to see those stickers on cars. Have you hugged your child today? Well, I've got a new question for you. Have you hugged your promise from God today? Have you hugged your promise from God today? Because it says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and what? Embraced them. And an embrace is a hug. Abraham and Sarah hugged, they embraced these promises of God, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So there's a reward for believing the promises of God for the dead, dying in faith, believing the promises of God. So have you hugged your promise today? Well, that's what gets us through a lot of days, is grabbing on to a promise of God and clinging to it. That's why it's so important for each of us to be in the Word of God. So these all died in faith. You know, Sarah, at 90 years old, is told she's going to have a baby, and she laughs about it. So does Abraham, for that matter. They both laughed about it. But they embraced those promises, and they were told that your seed's going to be as the sand of the sea, as the stars of heaven. But Sarah died without seeing her son even married. This is a pretty amazing thing. And just to see the time factor, let's look at Genesis 23. Genesis 23:1. The Bible says, and Sarah was 100 and what? 7 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died. So Sarah is 127. Now, Isaac did not get even, he did not even get married until 3 years after his mom died. So Sarah never got to see her son married. Sarah never got to see one grandchild, not one. And yet God had promised that her and Abraham together would have a son, and their seed would number as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. Now put yourself in Sarah's spot. God has promised you this, and your son is 37 years old, and I'll show you that. But let's go to Genesis 17 just to give you some references about these ages, just so you can see that that is the case. So she dies at 127. Genesis 17:15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and what? Laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? So she's 90 at this point. So if Sarah had Isaac at 90, Sarah has Isaac, she's 90 years old. She dies at 127. So how old is Sarah? Well, we told, how old is Isaac when his mom dies? She has him at 90. She dies at 127. Like somebody said, at 37. So Isaac is 37 years old when his mother dies. He's not married. Now let's look at Genesis 25. Genesis 25. And verse 20. Genesis 25:20, and Isaac was what? 40 years old when he took Rebekah to what? To wife. So he's 40 when he gets married. So his mom has been with the Lord for 3 years. So he was 37 at his mom's death. He does not get married until he's 40 years old. So, but what is interesting is that Sarah did not enter her heavenly home with the same attitude that Naomi went back to her earthly home, Bethlehem. Because you remember what happened when she went back home? They said something about her. Let's look in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. This is a stark contrast between Naomi and Sarah when they went home. Sarah, home to heaven. Naomi, home, back home to her home city. Ruth 1:19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. That's her hometown. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, call me not Naomi, but call me what? Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt what? Very bitterly with me. Mara means bitter. I went out full, and the Lord, she's pointing her finger, the Lord hath brought me home what? Again, empty. Why then call you me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Oh, she's bitter. She's a bitter woman. I'll never forget going to a funeral where I grew up with this young lady in church. Her family went to that church. And so many years later, her dad passes away. And so I went to the funeral. And you know how it is many times at funeral, the ushers dismiss the family first. So that was what happened at that funeral. The ushers dismissed the family first. And so the family was filing out, and I was way in the back. And I saw the face of that young lady, and it's like, is this Naomi? No, this is Mara. This is a bitter, bitter person. And she was, at that point, very bitter. She wasn't bitter because her dad had died. She had a lot of things happen in her life that wasn't well. And you could just see it on her face, the bitterness. The Bible talks about the wicked man hardeneth his face. You can tell, can't you? You can tell in a person's face when they're bitter. You see it. But you know what? Praise God, Sarah didn't go home to heaven as Naomi went home to Bethlehem. Look back, please, in Hebrews 11, in verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 11. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, what? Faithful, who had promised. You know, that probably would be a little scary for a 90-year-old woman to go through having a baby. It probably would be a fearful thing for him. But she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died what? In faith, not in bitterness. Sarah did not die in bitterness. She died in faith. And then it goes on to say, not having received the promises. Well, yes, they had the promised son, but they did not see the fulfillment. It's like 37 years tick by, and he does not get married. Never sees the marriage, never sees one grandchild, not one. But you know what's interesting? Well, let's read verse 6 here in this chapter, Hebrews 11, 6. But without what? Faith. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sarah believed that. And you know, God uses Sarah as a shining example of a godly wife. Notice in 1 Peter 3, you know, the Lord wouldn't have been able to do this if Sarah didn't die hugging those promises of God. He wouldn't have been able to say this of her. 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of who? God of what? Great price. This is difficult. There's many ladies here. You know how difficult it is to have to submit to someone who is far from perfect. That is hard. Submitting to someone who does not always make the right decisions. That is a difficult task. But the Bible says here, living such a life is in the sight of God of great price, at great value to him. And then notice how God illustrates that, verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who what? Trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as who? Sarah. Obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And then he goes on to the husbands here. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving what? Honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that what? Your prayers be not hindered. It's just amazing here. Sarah could have died just like Naomi went into Bethlehem. A bitter, bitter woman. God, this isn't fair. You promised that our seed was going to be as the sand of the sea, as the stars of heaven. You promised. And you're going to let me die? My son isn't even married. I haven't even seen a grandchild. You can't do this to me, God. The Bible says she died not having received the promises, but embraced them. She didn't die bitter. She died hugging God's promises and believing God's promises. And God uses her as a shining example of verse 4 of someone that's of great value to him. There is a reward. The whole point is there is a reward for the dead in Christ. You may say, but I didn't get to see this happen, or I didn't get to see this happen. There is a reward for the dead in Christ. When they believe the promises of God and die in faith, not die shaking their fist at God, but die in faith, embracing those promises. That is exactly what Abraham and Sarah did. Now, even Abraham did not die seeing his seed as the stars of heaven or as the sand of the sea. He had to die in faith too. Now, he did see his son married, and he did see two grandchildren. But he didn't see the whole fulfillment of it either, but he died in faith. But Sarah is a shining, shining example for us of believing the promises of God. So the point, there is a reward for believing the promises of God, dead or alive. And we looked at those who died, Sarah. And then number two under that point, for believing the promises of God, there is a reward for the living in Christ. Notice with me in Jude 14. Jude verse 14. Jude 14. You know, I think of my grandpa Rector. He witnessed to a man he worked with, a neighbor, for years. They rode together to work. And one day they came into my grandfather's yard. It was the neighbor's turn to drive. And so my grandmother was out on the porch. And so the neighbor yelled at my grandma and said, "Here, you have him. I'm tired of him preaching to me." And so he got out of the car. But you know what? That neighbor did not get saved while my grandfather was alive. But that man did get saved before he died. And just I heard from his lips at Butterworth Hospital, "I am trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to save me." Tell you, it's worth it all, isn't it? Whether we see the fruit or not, are we going to die hugging the promises of God, believing them, or are we going to die bitter saying, "It wasn't worth it," or "God didn't keep his promise"? Listen, there is a reward for believing the promises of God and not letting go of them. So Jude 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, Behold, the Lord," what? "Cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." When I read that, I think, wow, Enoch was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. You talk about preaching repentance. He was it. So for openly believing the promises of God and preaching the promises of God, he's before Noah. We don't have time to go into Noah, but we could go to Genesis chapter 6. But people's imagination was only evil continually. And Enoch is preceding him. He's seeing that come about. So Enoch is preaching away. He's believing the promises of God. God is going to come. It's a promise of God. He's coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. And then he talks about this need to repent of this ungodliness. That takes a lot of courage to preach the promises of God when everyone is sneering at you. and not listening. But Enoch did that. And what was the reward for that? Well, that was pretty amazing. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5. There is a reward for the dead and the living. There's a reward for believing the promises of God, whether you're dead or alive. There's a reward. Genesis 5:21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch, what? Walked with God. You know, it'll be said of Noah the same thing. You know, there has to be someone that starts it, right? There has to be someone that starts doing the right thing. Enoch walked with God. A little later on, it's said of Noah, Noah walked with God. Will we be the one to start it in maybe our family or our realm? Will we walk with God? Enoch did. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. He's walking with God. And he was what? Not. For God took him. Well, what happens? Well, we go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. The Bible tells us what happened. So there's a reward for the living. Enoch was believing and preaching the promises of God. And there's a reward for the living for doing that. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated. That's why he was not. Because he was translated. He was changed into a different form. Translating a word, you're changing it from one language to another. Enoch was translated. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So he was translated that he should not see death. So you see, Enoch, Sarah, Abraham. Abraham and Sarah died in faith, not having received the promises. But Enoch, he's embracing the promises of God that he's coming again to judge ungodliness. And he, being yet alive, is rewarded. He's caught up. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. There's a reward. We've looked at three things tonight. There is a reward at the rapture, dead or alive. There's a reward. If the dead in Christ are going to be rewarded, the alive in Christ are going to be rewarded. We saw number two, there's a reward for excellent sacrifice in life, dead or alive. Abel, he offered an excellent sacrifice and he died. But Abraham offered an excellent sacrifice. He was willing to offer up his son, but he was able to live. His son was able to live on still. There was a reward, dead or alive. Number three, we looked at, there's a reward for believing the promises of God, dead or alive. And once again, Abraham and Sarah, they believed the promises, even though they died. Enoch preached the promises, and he was rewarded being yet alive. I just want to close with two passages. Revelation 22. Revelation 22 in verse 12. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come what? Quickly. And my what?
Reward.
My reward is with me to give who? Every man according as his work shall be. Listen, I don't know. The Lord could come back tonight. The Lord could come back this week. The Lord might come back in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 100 years. I do not know the day, the hour, the year. I don't know. But I do know one thing. He's going to come quickly and his reward is with him. And there's a reward for the dead in Christ or the living in Christ. And so, will we embrace those promises? My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. It's worth it to serve the Lord. And the last passage is Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35. I do not know when I'm going to die. I'm praying for a great revival, a great awakening. I don't know if I'll ever see that, but I hope I never quit embracing the promises of God in Isaiah 55. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, what? Your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of what? Reward. Let's read that verse again. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That's where it's embracing those promises. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of what? Patience. That after ye have done what?
The will of God.
You see, that's what we've got to keep doing. Whether we die doing it or whether we live doing it, we must look ahead to that reward. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive what? The promise. There's a reward. Whether we get that reward dead or alive, it's there. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, what? Will come. And will not tarry. That day will come as a thief in the night. But it will come. God will come. The Lord will judge this world in righteousness. This world will melt with fire one day. And God will, he promises that his word will not return unto him void. All of the words we have spoken to others about Jesus, that will not return unto him void. All the tracts, the Bible courses, the printed and handed out and mailed out, that will not return unto him void. Will we be a Naomi or a Sarah? And of course, Naomi, praise God, when the child is born, she changes, praise God. But in the first regard of Naomi, when she walked into Bethlehem, is that how we're going to go home? Are we going to go home bitter against God? God, it isn't fair. Or are we going to go home like Sarah, hugging those promises? They are going to come to pass. I'm having to go home to heaven now, but God's promises are going to come to pass. And she was rewarded, used as a great example for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises, your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to never get bitter. Help us to never start doubting your promises. Help us to be in the word. Help us to believe your promises. Help us to embrace your promises and never let go. Help us to put a bear hug on your promises and never release the grip. There is a reward. Whether we are dead or alive, there is a reward for those who trust you and serve you. Lord, please help us to do that very thing and never stop. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, have never yet trusted Jesus as Savior, help them to realize tonight that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again victorious from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sin. Lord, may no one leave here tonight unsaved. May they repent. May they turn to Jesus tonight and ask him to save them. Lord, please help us as Christians. It would be real easy to get discouraged in these days. And Father, we need to embrace your promises. We need to be in your word. There is a reward, whether we are dead or alive, for serving you, for following your word. Lord, bless now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.